Midwest and Northeast. This after 50 tornadoes have already touched down in the Midwest this week. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wade Allyn-Root for Tangible Investments. Tangible CEO has been quoted on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, interviewed on CNBC, and featured in Fortune magazine. He's been warning about a volatile and unpredictable stock market for months. The Dow is down 4,000 points since the peak. The Russell 2000 down more than 20%. In 2008, the market fell 55%, more than half your net worth wiped out. You need asset protection now. If you're a qualified client who has ever bought gold or silver before, and you have the receipt to prove it, Tangible Investments will give you a free fractional American Gold Eagle with a retail value of $199. Tangible will prove after you deal with Tangible Investments, you'll never buy from anyone else ever again. Call now to find out if you qualify for your $199 gold gift free. Call Tangible Investments at 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000. Tangible has done billions of dollars in transactions and can show you how to protect your assets. Call 800-780-9000 and go for your free $199 coin.
The FBI announced the addition of fugitive Eugene Palmer to the top 10 most wanted list 5 years after he shot and killed his daughter-in-law. Assistant Director in Charge William Sweeney explains the case at a press conference Wednesday outside the FBI office in New York.
Palmer was eventually charged with second-degree murder by the Rockland County DA's office in 2012. But when investigators realized Palmer likely fled the area after the murder, they requested the Bureau's assistance, and the FBI filed a federal warrant for unlawful flight to avoid prosecution.
Palmer is said to be armed and dangerous. The National Weather Service says they expect the Arkansas River to reach the 41-foot water level tonight around 7 o'clock Central Time. Melody Daniels with the Arkansas Department of Emergency Management.
This is not the time to go float the river. This is not the time to be out and about swimming. This is the time to be taking precautions and do whatever you can to save lives. We can always replace property. We cannot replace a life.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root, the conservative warrior. My show, War Now, airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn-Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
With more on our top story, Special Counsel Robert Mueller has broken his silence on his investigation into Russian interference during the 2016 election. Former Department of Justice employee Tom Dupree shares with Fox News his opinion on Mueller's nearly nine-minute statement.
Well, I think it was very typical Bob Mueller. I think that he is obviously a sober man of few words, and the one message that I took away again and again is that he spoke through his report. He does not intend to go beyond that. He made explicitly clear that if he were someday to be brought to Congress or a public forum, he would not say anything that wasn't already in the report. I think what was also interesting is that although he was very careful not to go beyond what he said in his report, he was very careful and thoughtful about highlighting certain passages in the report, I think, as a way of drawing public attention to some conclusions that may have gotten lost in all the political
back and forth. Tom?
One of the things he talked about was the statement in the report that if they had had evidence exculpating the president, they would have said it. They didn't say it. I think he very deliberately put a spotlight on that. He also very deliberately put a spotlight on his bottom line conclusion about insufficient evidence to charge anyone beyond the Russians themselves in the conspiracy portion of Volume 1. So I think what Mueller was doing, without going beyond the words of his report, he wanted to focus the public's attention on specific statements, specific findings, in all likelihood as a way of rebutting a lot of inferences that people have been publicly drawing about him.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Special Counsel Robert Mueller breaks his silence, saying the Mueller report speaks for itself and he does not intend to testify before Congress. With more on Mueller's press conference, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes from Washington.
Mueller also said Justice Department guidelines did prohibit him from being able to charge President Trump with any crime, like obstruction, in connection with the probe.
It would be unfair to potentially accuse somebody of a crime when there can be no court resolution of the actual charge.
Mueller adding, though, that if he had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, quote, we would have said so.
Case closed. That's how President Trump reacts to Mueller's comments on Wednesday. And around 40 million Americans are facing severe weather threats and possible tornadoes in the Midwest and Northeast. This after 50 tornadoes have already touched down in the Midwest this week. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wade Allyn-Root for Tangible Investments. Tangible CEO has been quoted on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, interviewed on CNBC, and featured in Fortune magazine. He's been warning about a volatile and unpredictable stock market for months. The Dow is down 4,000 points since the peak. The Russell 2000 down more than 20%. In 2008, the market fell 55%, more than half your net worth wiped out. You need asset protection now. If you're a qualified client who has ever bought gold or silver before, and you have the receipt to prove it, Tangible Investments will give you a free fractional American Gold Eagle with a retail value of $199. Tangible will prove after you deal with Tangible Investments, you'll never buy from anyone else ever again. Call now to find out if you qualify for your $199 gold gift free. Call Tangible Investments at 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000. Tangible has done billions of dollars in transactions and can show you how to protect your assets. Call 800-780-9000 and go for your free $199 coin.
The FBI announced the addition of fugitive Eugene Palmer to the top 10 most wanted list 5 years after he shot and killed his daughter-in-law. Assistant Director in Charge William Sweeney explains the case at a press conference Wednesday outside the FBI office in New York.
Palmer was eventually charged with second-degree murder by the Rockland County DA's office in 2012. But when investigators realized Palmer likely fled the area after the murder, they requested the Bureau's assistance, and the FBI filed a federal warrant for unlawful flight to avoid prosecution.
Palmer is said to be armed and dangerous. The National Weather Service says they expect the Arkansas River to reach the 41-foot water level tonight around 7 o'clock Central Time. Melody Daniels with the Arkansas Department of Emergency Management.
This is not the time to go float the river. This is not the time to be out and about swimming. This is the time to be taking precautions and do whatever you can to save lives. We can always replace property. We cannot replace a life.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn-Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
With more on our top story, Special Counsel Robert Mueller has broken his silence on his investigation into Russian interference during the 2016 election. Former Department of Justice employee Tom Dupree shares with Fox News his opinion on Mueller's nearly nine-minute statement.
Well, I think it was very typical Bob Mueller. I think that he is obviously a sober man of few words, and the one message that I took away again and again is that he spoke through his report. He does not intend to go beyond that. He made explicitly clear that if he were someday to be brought to Congress or a public forum, he would not say anything that wasn't already in the report. I think what was also interesting is that although he was very careful not to go beyond what he said in his report, he was very careful and thoughtful about highlighting certain passages in the report, I think, as a way of drawing public attention to some conclusions that may have gotten lost in all the political back and forth.
Tom?
One of the things he talked about was the statement in the report that if they had had evidence exculpating the president, they would have said it. They didn't say it. I think he very deliberately put a spotlight on that. He also very deliberately put a spotlight on his bottom line conclusion about insufficient evidence to charge anyone beyond the Russians themselves in the conspiracy portion of Volume 1. So I think what Mueller was doing, without going beyond the words of his report, he wanted to focus the public's attention on specific statements, specific findings, in all likelihood as a way of rebutting a lot of inferences that people have been publicly drawing about him.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
And welcome to a new edition of Modern Design. I'm your host, Richard Christopher Scuderi. I'm very happy to have via technology, I do believe, my guest, and his name is Tim Hyonis with Hyonis Greenhouses and Garden Center in White House Station, New Jersey. Tim, do we have you on the line?
Yes, how are you doing, Richard? Thanks for having me.
Terrific, and thank you for being in our little bit of a holding pattern. there to speak to us. I have to tell you, and I talk about your program. I don't know if you're a listener of Modern Design. We've been on the air now here in Hunterdon County for about 6 years, but I often reference your company because I think you have such a wealth, and I thought I kind of still see it as a hidden gem, and maybe I shouldn't see it that way because I don't really know your family story. But when I sort of stumbled upon the fact that in this residential neighborhood that there was this wealth of flowers and plants and just the volume, the sheer volume that was there and the quality, I was just overwhelmed by it. So why don't I start, for those of us that don't know a little bit about you and your company, tell us about you and where you got started or your family got started and how this became something that was eventually open to the public.
Well, before I start with that, I want to thank you for the kind words and spreading the word about us. Me and my family, we're grateful for you doing that. And, you know, we are Hyonas Greenhouses. We're on Connington Road and White House Station. And we've been at our current location for over 20 years.
Wow.
We started as commercial growers. My parents, Angie and Spiro, started back in 1985, established Hyonas Greenhouses. And before that, we're in partnership with their families. Since like the early 70s.
Wow, so this is a long, long-standing project.
Yes, yeah. I grew up, I'm the second of four brothers. We all grew up in it. We're all still very active in the business of what we do. And, you know, we're commercial growers. We grow, right now we're in the spring season, so all the annuals, the hanging baskets, deck pods. But we actually grow all year long, so... for instance, now, believe it or not, this morning we just got our shipment of mum cuttings and poinsettia cuttings for the fall and winter.
Wow, you're kidding.
Yeah, so we're already starting with fall and winter. We grow all for all four seasons. So outdoor mums in the fall, ornamental cabbage and kale, fall pansies. We do poinsettias and all the winter stuff like amaryllis and... you know, we bring in greens for reeds, you know, and all that sort of stuff. And then we also do, you know, during the mum season, we get our spring bulbs, our tulips, our hyacinths, and daffodils. We're a large grower of Easter bulbs.
Uh-huh.
So that starts happening in the middle of the height of our fall season. So it's like a never-ending cycle.
Yeah, it's sort of the circle of life, and you're constantly pushing ahead to the next season. So why don't we start for people that are not familiar with where you're physically located, because it is an easy place to find, but it's slightly hidden. Why don't you give our listeners your physical address?
Yeah, we're on 4 Connington Road in White House. We're right off of Route 22. Across the highway of the Ryland Inn and behind the Driver's FX Automotive Store.
Right, and then there's quite a bit of acreage where you actually are. You go into, in the beginning, it just looks like you're going down a mistake, like a residential street, and then shortly to the right you'll see the opening, and then the greenhouses are there. So initially you were just doing, and also I'm getting a little bit of feedback. I don't know if you're listening to the show while you're talking. I'm getting just a little bit of feedback.
I'm not listening to it, but I did hear a little bit of it, maybe because I'm too close to the speaker.
Maybe just a little bit back. Yeah, I think that might be better, or you might have to pick up on the handset because they can hear you better. That sounds much better.
Okay
when was the point where you stopped growing just solely commercially and open to the public?
We opened to the public in 2006 for one of two reasons.
Uh-huh.
We actually, back in the early 2000s, we had opened up a satellite location in New York City. A majority of our business back then was in Manhattan.
Oh, really?
We dealt with decorators and wholesalers and florists in the city, and that part of the operation started growing.
Right.
So we had kind of started splitting, like kind of separating our resources. And at that time, since we had that operation over there, which was kind of a little bit to the public,
mm-hmm.
we decided why not do it back here at the headquarters.
Sure.
And it actually took off right away. The first weekend that my brother Spiro, my brother Pete, opened up, I remember them saying like around 9:30,
uh-huh.
they opened the doors and nobody showed up, and they thought it was going to be a bust. And then all of a sudden at around like 10:30, 11, The floodgates open.
It's just terrific. And one of the things that I happen to do is, and you know, I purchase for myself all the time there, is that I took a picture I just took a shot of perhaps I think it was geraniums in the shot that I posted on the website here, and it's as far as the eye can see. It's almost like an optical illusion with mirrors, it looks like, but it's actually the depth of those tables, those long, I don't know if you could call them tables, those long growing tables.
Yeah, the tables, the benches.
Do you have any idea? Could you give us like a perspective of how long they are? I mean, they're just enormous.
Yeah. So when you walk down the middle aisle, you're literally at the middle of the greenhouse. And when you look right, that first table is 100 foot from the aisle to the glass.
It's just unbelievable the amount of inventory.
Yeah. So on the right side is 100 feet, and the left side is 100 feet.
So our show is all about trends and what's in style and what's working, and you're always, you know, your season's ahead, as you have just told me that your season's ahead of everything. So one of the things that we talk about on Modern Design is what's trending this year, and I do think the classics will always be there, but each season there are some things that seem to be hotter or more of a buzz item for people. Wouldn't you say that's true?
Absolutely.
For this this summer season, we just had the Memorial Day holiday, and people are buying they're doing their pots, they're doing their beds, they're doing, you know, the planting that's going to satiate them through the summer until Labor Day, and then they'll start working on some of the fall stuff. What do you see people buying, or what's in high demand this year? What's new? What did you buy this year that was different maybe than last year?
You know, the one area of what we grow that I cannot believe jumps leaps and bounds is the succulent department.
Oh, yeah. That's like a whole new thing, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Everybody from a five-year-old kid all the way up to an 80-year-old, you know, woman, once they see that, you know, those succulent tables, they don't want to leave, you know.
Right. Well, they're so architectural. I mean, they really have a lot to them. Now, I'm going to simplify some of these things, and you feel free to correct me. Mm-hmm. But I am to understand from just being a decorator and in the business is that succulents sort of look the way they do because they're low maintenance, and they don't have to be watered as much on a regular basis because they hold the water in their leaves, and that's why they have that sort of puffy consistency. Is that in fact correct?
Yeah, that's definitely correct. The low maintenance, the look of it all, I think it all plays into part on what the popularity is about it.
Now, I noticed when I came in this weekend that you had a good amount of succulents, but what is the best environment for succulents? Should we reserve succulents for inside the house? Are they more of an inside plant? Or in our zone, which I believe in this central New Jersey area we are, I would think that we're about a zone 6. Is that correct?
That's correct. But so, you know what? Succulents are versatile. You could put them, you know, as long as they don't get poured on and waterlogged, you can put them outside if they're protected, especially in long periods of rain. I don't see why you wouldn't put them outside.
So what would be maybe a good application? You know, when I'm doing my pots outside, would that be something that I would add to it as sort of a part of the filler of the basket to have some architecture or, you know, visual interest? Is that a good place for succulents?
Yeah, I think it gives good texture, you know. And I think that's what it's all about, putting a nice container together, just have the different textures of stuff. You know, the one plant enhances another, you know.
Do succulents kind of pair well with each other? Because there's so many different types of succulents. There's chicks and hens, and there's all different kinds of the ones that have flowers on them, some that don't. Do certain ones sort of have a synergy and pair well together?
Yeah. Your sepervivums, your hens and chicks, your echeverias, your hyworthias, they kind of do, they, you know, when you combine like the different colors and the different leaf shapes and everything like that, it really does put on a nice show. You know, the girls here, you know, we have in the garden center where they're not busy with customers, you know, I see them come up with different designs in different gardens. You know, every time I see a new one that they do, I'm amazed. Like, wow, that's nice that you put that together, you know?
Yeah, they really become something. They become something of their own. And in their simplicity, when you group them, they do just quite turn into something, don't they?
They do, yeah.
Okay, so I love succulents. I did see succulents done outside where they were done on a house, and someone took, I don't know if you've ever seen this look before, someone took a pallet, just a pallet like you probably receive things all day long. They took a pallet and they hung the pallet on the side of a building They hung it, and then they filled it with succulents. They put in sort of a false bottom in between and made them look like that they were shelves, and each one had succulents. So is that a good application maybe for an outside use?
I think that's a great application. You know, pallets is something that, you know, businesses kind of, you know, when they're not, they don't need them anymore, kind of gets thrown to the wayside. So
right.
If they use something that's somebody else's garbage and use it as a pot, almost like a hanging pot, I think it's a fantastic look.
No, I love it, and it has that weathered wood look mixed with the succulent. So that's a good thing to know. And I hadn't known that you could use them in our environment outside. I just thought maybe it would be too wet. But that's something to do. I definitely want to add some to my own garden. Let's talk about shade-loving plants. You know, it's always easy to come up with things that are good in a sunny environment. But I find it part of my property, and many of us in Huntington County, this is listened to all across the country, so it's not just Huntington County, New Jersey, but in this at least part of the country, because we have so many large trees, especially in Hunterdon, a lot of people's properties can be wooded where it's hard to get some color. So for an environment that is shady, what's some good options? One of the ones that I've had success with actually from your garden center was the begonias.
Yeah, the annual ones. The nonstop, the tuberous begonias, you can't go wrong with, you know.
I love the tuberous begonias, the nonstop, because not only do they really, in fact, do that nonstop, you're always getting new flower heads, but right. They give you this sort of like a rubbery, almost like a rose-type flower, and they're just, the colors are so vibrant, they carry from a distance.
Yeah, and when they're showy.
And they're showy, and when you're working in a shade environment, you need something that's going to pop, and I think that the nonstop tuberous begonias are, you know, a great fit. They bring
it
a lot of
a
color.
The only thing you want to keep in mind on the begonias is they don't like wet feet, so you want to put them in an area that's not soggy and like water doesn't stand. So
right,
they prefer to be more on a drought tolerant side than with like wet feet constantly getting wet, watered or whatever. So.
I'm always looking to think outside the box and do things. When I do my pots every year, I always want to do them different and come up with something else. And I always look for inspiration. In fact, I call my phone actually a camera more than I call it a phone, because I'm always, every day I want to post images of things that I see that are well done and different. I like to work with sometimes unusual materials or things that become something else. And I noticed you had a good amount of beautiful coleus, the different coleuses.
Coleus is a great plant. It's great as a mass planting. It tolerates shade very well,
mm-hmm.
and it does well in doing a lot of leafy stuff together. I've
right.
seen people bring in pictures of, you know, putting in a pot, a canna in the middle, coleus around the side, and sweet potato vine on the outside.
Right.
And when they show me the picture of it when it's in like late July. Absolutely amazing. It's stunning.
It's really stunning. That combination of the dark purple and the citrus green, I think, is a really nice combination, and you get that a lot. Although I also saw a lot of sort of like reds, like a barn red with the citrus green, and a lot of the ones that you had in most recently, and that combination could work well.
The contrast is great, yes.
Tell me about maybe some of the plants that are you know, bestsellers for you. I'll tell you one that I get every time, and I talk about this all the time, and I had a couple of flats of it the other day with you, is that inadvertently one year I wound up getting some ageratum. I'm in a very high deer area, and I got some ageratum. I thought to myself, what did I buy these for? These look like nothing. They're just little blobs of nothingness. Well,
yeah.
In a very short period of time, these turned into the most beautiful, amazing purple flowers and mass and growing. And the deer step over it to get to other things.
They're very deer resistant, and they make a great border. That's what I usually recommend people with ageratum is use it around the bed.
Your beds, yeah.
Yeah.
If you edge your beds, in ageratum, they are just exquisite,
yeah.
And they grow. I mean, in fact, I found that they last up until like Thanksgiving. I was taking out some stuff and then keeping the purple ageratum and making a new palette with purple and orange and leaving the ageratum in because they just seem so hardy. And their leaves are even attractive.
They are. You're right.
What's any other good border plants that you might recommend?
Celosia is another nice border plant. It only gets to about maybe 12 inches tall, and you get nice shades of yellows and oranges and reds and pinks.
Is
that's another deer-resistant plant.
Yeah.
I
discovered that by accident last year. I have some stores, and I had a boutique store up in the Milburn, Maplewood area, and I found Celosia in the end of August, early September, and I replaced it in all my pots that I had. I had a sort of a retaining wall, and I filled all the pots with it. Boy, that was some interesting plant. Everybody asking me what that was. Is that becoming more popular the past couple of years?
It is becoming very popular, you know, because of the, you know, the pointy kind of flower that it produces. And it lasts. It's not like one of those other annuals where it's like, okay, the flower's done. You got to, you know, deadhead it back. You know, that flower goes throughout the whole season. So I think it's a low-maintenance annual that performs really, really well in our area. You know?
What about, let's talk about petunias a little bit. I was always a big fan of the petunias because they have such a nice smell. But for me, petunias, by the time I got to the middle to late July, they would often like sort of evaporate. They kind of sort of receded. Is a petunia still a good flower to do, or have you had that experience from people?
Petunias are a great showy flower, but yeah, what tends to happen is in the middle of the summer, it fades. It starts looking stretchy.
And they sort of recede. I was like, what happened to my plants? Exactly
You know, what we do with petunias, because they're great early season, because that's ones that, you know what, when you walk in the greenhouse, they're showing the most at first, almost, you know, almost like, hey, look at me, you know, and it's almost like it takes all its energy to show its beauty in the beginning.
In the front, exactly.
Where it wears itself out. So, you know, what we tell everybody to do, that when that happens in the middle of the summer, you got to pinch it back, you know?
Right.
Pinching it back is, it almost starts the cycle over again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you pinch it back, you feed it heavily, and in a couple of weeks after that pinch and heavy feed, you know, it'll be back to where it was when you first bought it. So it's a little bit of maintenance.
Yeah, I had a, I'm very, personally, I love horticulture and plants, and I had someone in the fall season who we did a whole show about fall pots, and this woman that came and said there should be three parts to a pot. There should be the thriller, the filler, and the spiller. So the thriller, of course, is sort of the spike or something that has some height to it. What do you recommend maybe for some spring baskets or pots for some height? I noticed that you had spikes this year that were, maybe they're not even the same kind of spikes, because I did buy the regular green spikes from you, but I see a spike that's more of like a purple color, and it's a bigger scale. Is that also a spike?
It is. It's in the cordyline family. So
okay.
We call it, you know, just in the common form, red spike.
Red spike, okay.
But it's a red spike, and it's thicker. Yeah, if you look at the foliage that comes out, it's a lot thicker than the Dracaena spike.
What else would you maybe want to recommend if you want to think outside the box and be creative? Would be a good thriller for a pot for spring. Is there anything else that's sort of tall that you might?
Really becoming very popular. It's also in the cordyline family. It's called Red Sister.
Oh.
It's a little taller. Usually you'll find it in like a 10-inch pot.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, if the pot is big enough, it makes a great, like, middle filler of the container, you know. What's becoming popular is the Majesty Palm to stick in the middle, the Canna Lilies.
Uh-huh.
If you have a shady area, which has become becoming popular, is the Philodendron. Inside it has the stallone, which is kind of like a wildly kind of, you know, it's got a bunch of leaves kind of just going in every direction with, you know, and it's jaggedy kind of leaves. But for shade, it's actually, you know, you put it together with, you know, some color. It's beautiful.
I'm very impressed by the creativity of pots and when people think outside of the box. Of course, if you have a classic pot, right, in an old colonial, in a brick house, they have a classic pot that has the beautiful cherry red geranium. Sorry about that. That's an easy word. With a spike and then the beautiful vines on the bottom. Of course, that's always going to look good. But when you do things in non-traditional ways and then you reinvent it, I always think that's even more interesting to do. So when it comes to the filler of the pot, anything new this year that you like, or a classic, or just something that's your own personal favorite?
Look, the Caliber Cola Million Dollar is always a great filler. The
okay.
Long-lasting. It kind of resembles a petunia.
Okay.
But it's got smaller flowers, you know, and the color range is a little bit different than the petunia. There's lots of yellows and reds and scarlet and purples and pinks that you don't really see with a petunia, which is becoming hugely popular.
Lantanas are good, yeah. Yes, I like Lantanas, and they come a lot of colors.
The Lantana, which holds up very well in the heat, you know, once we get into those summer dry months, can handle with not getting watered, and fills in the gaps of those combination plantings, you know. So, you know, just playing around with a whole bunch of different stuff, like Biden's is a good one. The way that creeps through, you know, any openings of any other kind of pot plants that you put in your combinations, it's kind of neat. So,
let's talk about things that are deer resistant. I guess nothing is really deer proof. Probably Narcissus bulbs are deer proof because the deer, they're poisonous to deer. At least I was told that. And maybe Digitalis.
Yes, Digitalis is supposed to be very poisonous.
But other than that, I don't think there's anything that's completely deer-proof. What would you say, you know, and you, people tell you different things, and it's sort of trial and error. One of the things that I seemed to do okay with was snapdragons.
Snapdragons, are pretty deer-resistant.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that's my number one question. When anybody walks through the door and they see me,
right,
they're like, what's the most deer-resistant? What's the most deer-proof, you know?
Sure, it would have to be, I would imagine.
Uh-huh. Especially out here in Hunterdon County.
Right.
Snapdragons is always a good one, especially for early spring. You usually see that around.
Uh-huh.
You know, like we said, the celosia, the adjuretta, zinnias are deer-resistant.
Oh, zinnias are deer-resistant. I didn't know that. And they give you a lot of color.
They give you a lot of color. You know.
What about the plant, the portulaca? Are you familiar with those? They have that sort of a rubbery flower.
As well, yes. Yep.
I had read that one as well. What's a flower that's kind of deer candy to you? To me, any hydrangea is deer candy.
Hydrangea is deer candy. The regular patient, unfortunately, is deer candy.
I wanted to ask you a question before I forget. I'm getting to the age now that if I don't ask something right away, I forget it.
Sure.
What's the difference between the regular inpatient and the New Guinea inpatient? Because they look completely different.
They are completely different, and the way that they grow is different.
Okay.
So inpatients are for shade. You know, you got shady areas, you put them in shade.
And patients in shade are just, they sort of take off. Sometimes you get your best result. I've seen people that have an unbelievable mound of beautiful, let's say, white impatiens in a shade area against all greens, and it's amazing.
It explodes. They explode in the shade.
But it takes 2 seconds for a deer to come in there and wipe it out.
Right. And that's the huge downfall with our area. And that's why we don't see it that often anymore in our areas, because of that.
Now, the New Guinea impatiens a bigger flower, isn't it?
It's a bigger flower. The shape of the leaf is different altogether, and that could tolerate more sunnier conditions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know the nice thing what I like to tell customers is that both the impatiens, it's sort of like your gauge that your landscape probably needs water because they'll start to wilt. They'll be the first ones to wilt.
No, that's
so you know, and the nice thing is when they wilt, it's not too late. You know, you water them and they bounce back up, and then it's kind of a reminder to kind of go through your landscape and see what else might need water.
What about the old fashioned favorite? Of course, I'm going to lose the. I won't remember now the name. The classic orange. Oh my God, what's the name of it? Marigolds. I'm sorry, the marigolds. I always didn't care for marigolds. I think them from like grammar school days, and they were sort of an ugly plant. But I recently saw groupings of marigolds done together with lots of large heads, and then they were done in sections where some were just all the bright yellow, and then ones had depth to them, and some were sort of orange, and it actually looked really good together. Now, I had read that that's a great plant for a bad deer area. Is that true or not true about marigolds?
You know, I get people coming in saying, yeah, generally in the beginning it was like, no, it's, you know, the deer aren't supposed to eat it. But I do have people come in, I planted marigolds last year and the deer ate them, blah, 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 what else can I put? But the great thing about marigolds is also it keeps away predators, bugs.
Oh, it does.
Like aphids and you know, other like mites and stuff like that. So that's why you're kind of starting to see them around again, because I think people are trying to use that as a benefit of mosquitoes. It helps with mosquitoes, I'm told.
And I already see this year in Hunterdon County with the season, there's a lot of bugs this year where they typically aren't so early. So I wonder if we're going to have a buggy season.
We got a lot of rain and the water's got nowhere to go.
No, and when it sits, it causes problems.
Right.
You know, one of the things that I notice is that fashion or design sort of trickles to other things, including plantings. And I noticed that when people are doing plantings seasonally. The containers have changed, and they're a little bit more industrial. I see a lot of tin containers and weathered wood and things that are more industrial looking. And I also noticed a trend to less color and simplicity, where people are doing just all green or green and white. I see a trend where people are doing plantings using a shrub now and treating it almost as a in terms of being like a planting in a pot. So I don't know if you guys have been seeing this trend, but boxwoods are one of the things in particular. I'm seeing people that are buying boxwoods, but they're putting them in a pot, or they're buying maybe a dwarfed spruce and they're putting in a pot almost as its own simplicity, as it almost as its own planting or basket. Have you guys noticed that as well?
You know, I do have people that when they ask me for that, they want something so they're not maintaining it. So,
okay.
Or shrub like a boxwood or something like that. They just want to plant something. So yeah. So you know. So visually, there's something there. It looks good. It's warm.
Right.
You know, but they don't really want to maintain it. They, you know, they think flowers that it's I got to sit there and water it. I got to baby it and everything like that, which necessarily is not true, but. I think they just kind of want to make it a little bit easier for themselves.
When you were doing purchasing for spring this year, what are some of the things that you bought like that you thought, well, this is good or I like this? Anything else this year for 2019 spring? I mean, I'm trying to think about what I saw. There was so much variety. You know, tuberous begonias are one of my favorites, so I'm always looking for them.
Like a lot of the stuff that you see in at our place, we grow.
Wow.
It's not me making the decision necessarily.
Okay.
It's all of us, all my brothers, and we go by what the demand is, what our customers are asking,
mm-hmm.
and we kind of go from there. Of course, there's new selection of stuff that come about, and you know, being fortunate, being a mid-sized grower, we also have we're fortunate enough to have like the breeders give us samples of what might be coming on in the in the coming years and try it, see how it grows and everything.
What about things coming out in new colors? I sort of cut you off there. I didn't mean to do that. I passed a house the other day, and the azaleas were like an orange color, and I didn't even know they made an orange azalea.
You know, the breeders are always trying to find the next best thing. How can I take what's already out there and change it up, on the shrub end of it, nurseries are always trying to find the next endless summer hydrangea,
Right.
That's taken off in popularity. You know, the Encore Azalea, that, they introduced that and, everybody went crazy for it. So, on the back end of kind of like what we do, there's always somebody trying to find the next thing that's going to, make everybody super excited about what they grow and what they're breeding.
I think there's, it sort of becomes kind of exciting when you have a win with something, because I always feel when I go into a garden center, and I will be honest with you, living in Hunterdon County, I go, it's like a candy store, but I'm a diabetic, so I can only have the little sugar-free candy in the corner. So I kind of feel like that when I go into a garden center, because I see a plethora of beautiful and interesting things and lots of color, and I like color. But no, I can only limit myself to just a couple little things that will physically work with me because of deer.
And that's what we try to kind of change that mentality. Like, I can only do only this works, so I'm only going to do that. I mean, you see when spring hits, the Littman almost the vast array of what you can do. And our goal is for people whoever comes in, whether they purchase or not. But if they're going to garden or they're going to get a flower, that they have success with it. It does me no good and does nobody in my industry any good for somebody to buy something and not to have success with it or feel like, oh, that was a waste.
Right.
That's the number one thing we want to avoid.
People, you don't hear as much about roses. Roses were sort of the big thing for such a long time. Do you think that rose bushes and plants, except for I know they have some new strains that are more of a shrub-like rose that are easier to maintain. Do the roses sort of go out of fashion a little bit within the garden?
No. I mean, I have a section of tea roses and climbing roses the Floribundas, and of course the knockouts. The knockout roses are the new varieties.
Right.
But when they start blooming, people just can't get enough of them. I see them; they sit there and they stare at that section for like an hour. And and they're still fragrant and everything like that. And they put them. The number one thing with roses is they have the they're maintenance, so they have to spray them and they have to do this. And unfortunately, that's another one that the deer, if they're not protected, they could maybe not right away, but when they're hungry, they'll.
they'll go for them. Yeah, I guess it also depends on how hungry they are. Right. Let's talk about creating borders. One of the things is that if you have an open area and you want to enclose your yard in plantings, what's a good plant to do to sort of do I see so many people make the wrong choices. Like they'll go out and they'll buy a row and plant in a row of arborvitaes that are too soft, and then all the bottoms are eaten and they kind of look, you know, like an umbrella, and then they're just all in a row. What's a good plant to sort of separate your yard or create that visualization where they will work over time to grow together and create a border but not look, you know, sort of manufactured?
You know, deer resistant in low light, I always recommend Andromeda.
Oh,
Andromeda is a good one.
Right.
Are you getting that feedback again?
A little bit, yeah. Your information is so good, I'm just trying to ignore it because at least we're getting your words. I apologize. That's why we'll have to have you in studio next time.
Right. If I can get away.
Right. So Andromeda. What about Spirea? I tell you, I've had a lot. They were never my favorite plantings, but when I used Spirea, I've always gotten a result that was, you know, the plant always thrived.
Spirea is a great one, you know, and it's got some, you know, there's varieties out there with the leaf texture. You know, you got your oranges and your reds, not just your traditional greens.
Right.
You know, and it's got a nice color. The nice thing about Spirea, too, is that, you know, they'll bloom again. You know, once they're done blooming the first time, you shear them a little bit, and they'll bloom again.
Yes, and I experienced that as well, a second blooming. I said, wow, they're blooming again, which is terrific.
Yeah.
You know what I didn't see a lot of this year in the early spring? I didn't see as many forsythia plants.
Forsythia was limited. I think it came on quick, and it came on during the holidays of Easter and
right.
Passover. So I think it was like, you know what, you got to grab it now, and then all of a sudden they're gone, you know, so...
Yeah,
I agree with you. They just kind of came and went super.
What are your personal favorites in your own home or where you've lived? What have you put in that you just love and you recommend or you keep there? What's something we're always there? My listeners are always hungry for something that's hardy or beautiful or different or just something that you think is, you know,
simple,
you love.
My wife takes care of the stuff at home.
Right.
I basically live here in the springtime.
Sure, but I'm sure you're coming home with takeout, i.e. plant takeout. But so there
my
must
wife,
be...
My wife put these beautiful, and it's actually a new color of petunias. They're like a dark purple with white spots.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and actually my daughter was here helping me out one weekend, and she picked out the two baskets. She's like, Mommy, you got to plant these in the planters, and it looks fantastic.
Yeah. What about if someone is looking for fragrance? I would say, see, to me, petunias have almost a sweet smell to them, and I love the dark purple ones, you know, whatever the combinations that come together, but they have a sweetness to them. What else has a nice scent if you have, let's say, a back deck or a little courtyard and you want to have that sort of scent in an area?
You know, right now, the oriental lilies are just starting to kind of bud and starting to pop their little flowers, and
uh-huh.
They are super fragrant, you know. They're actually the stargazers and the Mona Lisa lilies and the Casablanca lilies right now should be starting to pop. And the fragrance on them is, like, it's unbeatable.
Speaking of lilies, one of the things that I really loved and it kind of denoted summer is that when you got to sort of the end of June, you started to see the daylilies that started to pop up the end of properties, especially out here in Hunterdon County. How long of a shelf life did the daylilies have? Now, they call them a daylily, from what I understand, because they open during the day and at night they close up again. Is that correct?
I believe so. Maybe. That I'm not too 100% sure on. I can't.
Those orange
lilies. I can't say yes or no to that. But
yeah.
The daylilies, they come right around now, right around the beginning of June. They start blooming and they go kind of all the way into the end of June, 4th of July-ish.
Uh-huh.
And they're a great plant because, you know, they multiply very quickly.
Right.
Throughout the years. And it's just like an easy plant. It's very versatile, you know. You kind of plant it, you know, once it gets established, there's not much you have to do to it, you know.
Most people, I think, are always confused. I had people tell me they only buy perennials. They put them out, and that's the way they do their garden. Some people say, no, you'll never get the seasonal color unless you have annuals also. What do you think is a good mix or a way to work if you just bought a new property and you need to start creating planting beds? Do you have sort of a philosophy on that?
I don't. I mean, usually when I tell somebody that, all right, I just moved into my house and I want a garden, but I don't know what I'm doing, I always tell them start small, you know. Walk through the garden center and see what's available. If you like it, ask, see if it'll work, you know, kind of know your general, your layout of your house. Do you have sun in the front of the house most of the day? Is it shady? know the conditions of the soil, if it's kind of fertile, if it's loose, it's clay, you know, and then just ask questions and say, hey, I got, you know, I want to do the front of my house. It gets morning sun till about this much. Can I put this perennial here? You know, and I think any knowledgeable garden center that you walk into should be able to kind of direct you in the right direction, you know.
Tim, any last? We're going to let you go after this. So, any last things that you could kind of say? I'd love for you to just tell us again, once again, your the name of your company, your physical address, your telephone number, and how people can reach you, and also your hours.
Yeah, so we're Hyannis Greenhouses. We're on 4 Connington Road, White House Station, New Jersey. You can visit our website, www.hyannisgreenhouses.com. Our phone number, 908-534-7710. Now we're in full force. We're open Mondays through Friday, 9 to 6, Saturdays 9 to 5, and Sundays 9 to 4.
So you don't get a day off right now?
No, right now.
But you're going skiing in the winter, right? So I shouldn't feel too sorry for you? I
hadn't had a day off since March, but that's okay. Uh-huh.
Well, your garden center is beautiful. Any last words on stuff that they should come in for this year? Because I there were so many things that I saw this time when I came in. I was just overwhelmed. And even though I got enough for my season annually, I want to come back and just to look again because there were a lot of new things or things that I hadn't seen before that I want to try. And also, I didn't even talk about that you have nice planters. I saw a lot of beautiful and interesting planters.
We do a lot of planters. We have a lot of nice palm trees for the back deck if you want that tropical feel, feeling like you're in the...
May I ask a quick question about that before we run out of the time in the segment? I saw somebody that wanted sort of a tropical look around their pool, even though we're zone 6, and I was told even you have to, throw them away at the end of the season, but around your pool in the summer months, you can put palm trees in a miniature palm tree in a pot and then put some, you know, put flowers around it, annuals. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. I have many people that come in that they're like, you know what, for what I'm spending on a palm to make it look like Florida, I don't have to buy a plane ticket. I don't have to get
right.
A hotel room. I don't have, you know, and eat in order out every night. You know, so for what I'm spending here, it's worth it. I put it by my barbecue, and I feel like I'm there.
So you can do palms around your pool or in your backyard for the summer season.
For the summer season,
can they?
They'll last all the way until like November, until the hard frost.
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely.
And could you transition them into the house, or are you creating a mess if you do that?
Many people do. Like, you know, they can. You bring them in the house as long. You know, I tell them as long as the temperature's above 45 degrees, and you don't let it dry out. You know, they're not going to look. You know, they might not do as well as being outdoors, but at least you can hold them over until next year, and then get them out there. You know, you give them a good shot of fertilizer, and they'll pop right back to normal, you know.
Amazing. Tim, thank you for I'm sorry we had a little interference during this, but you gave a wealth of knowledge to my listeners, so I thank you very much for doing this. And we'll do this again, both here in studio, in the radio studio, but also down in Princeton for the television show.
I appreciate it, Richard.
Okay.
Really,
thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Take care.
Bye. Okay, we're going to go to some commercial messages to pay for our program, but that was Tim Hyannis of Hyannis Greenhouses and Garden Center in White House Station, New Jersey, on Coddington Road off of Route 22. A great resource. Go check it while the days are nice. They have wonderful, wonderful things, and you'll never see as much volume and variety as you will in Hyannis Garden Center. We're going to take these commercial messages, and we'll be back with more after this.
Well, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for Modern Design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Christopher Scuderi. I've been doing our program Modern Design here for 6 years now. I've been an interior designer, a home stager, and contractor these days for the past 22 years, working on all sorts of residential and commercial projects, restaurants, hotels, wonderful homes, kitchens, and baths in the tri-state area. I've been published in many magazines and journals, which was kind of nice. I have a television show on the Comcast channel called Design for the Times, which you can also watch each week on YouTube under my name, Richard Christopher Scuderi. But one of the things that I'm equally as proud of is my design career is my project, the book that I wrote 2 years ago. I wrote a book, which I talk about maybe once in a blue moon, I'll talk about on our program here. And that book is called The Lonely Boy. And I wrote this book because I am a longtime sufferer of anxiety and depressive disorder. And I found that in certain times in my life that I didn't think I'd be able to make it through. Writing was a way for me to sort of, it was cathartic. It was a way for me to talk about some of my experiences. And lo and behold, one day that became a book. And I'm very fortunate that this book, The Lonely Boy, has become a bestseller. I'm very proud of it. I think that a lot of us out there do suffer from depression and anxiety, or maybe you have a spouse or a child that suffers from anxiety and depression, and it's nice to have an outlet for them. As an offshoot of this book, I got a phone call 3 months into it being out there. Barnes & Noble wanted to represent me, and I'm very fortunate that I'm on a book tour with Barnes & Noble throughout the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, going to the different Barnes & Noble locations, talking about overcoming depression, anxiety, and living a better and happier life, anti-bullying, all those things. So on this coming Saturday, June the 1st, I'm going to put the flyer up. On this coming Saturday, let's see if we get it close enough to the camera. This coming Saturday, June the 1st, from 2 to 5 p.m., I will be at the Barnes & Noble, 55 Parsonage Road in Edison, New Jersey. That's the Menlo Park Mall. Most of us know Menlo Park Mall. It's off of Route 1 in Edison, New Jersey. There's a freestanding, beautiful two-story flagship Barnes & Noble. And we're doing a series called a Conversation on Good Mental Health. They are open to the public. There is no purchase necessary. And we just sort of have an open conversation. Anybody who feels that they want to contribute something about anxiety, depression, PTSD, grief, just to maybe bullying, which is a constant issue that we talk about. And there, each talk is very different. We talk about a different topic, and we just open it up to the public. I have a group of people that I do have also speak on different areas, and I'm proud to announce that from this station, WHCRDB, Ruth Altamira Roll will also be speaking about anxiety and depression. I have a wonderful guest. She's an expert on meditation. Her name is Myra Burley, and she's going to do a little lead-in of meditation and how you can start that and how that could affect your life. And then finally, Gail Bannon, who is an expert on Kundalini yoga. I'm not so good at yoga, but she's going to tell us how easy this particular type of yoga is to get started in. And it's not so intimidating, especially for us male folks who don't move their body that fluidly. So it's going to be a wonderful event that is this Saturday. Myself and Ruth Altamira Roll from the station here, as well as Myra Burley and Gail Bannon, talking about a conversation on good mental health. That is 55 Barnes & Noble, Menlo Park Mall, 55 Parsonage Road in Edison, New Jersey. If you want more information, you can contact us at 908-884-0770, 908-884-0770. And come to our event. We're going to do these throughout the tri-state area. You'll see from time to time I will take some time aside of the broadcaster on Modern Design because I do feel that good mental health is very important. It's something that we don't talk about enough, and we need to start a conversation on good mental health. One last time I'll have you take a look at the book. The book is called The Lonely Boy. If you're not able to come this Saturday but would like to purchase my book, it's called The Lonely Boy. You can get it on Barnes & Noble in the stores. It's available locally in any Barnes & Noble store. You can also get it on the website, which is barnesandnoble.com. You also can get it on Amazon. This is available on amazon.com. And I think it's at $14.99. The book is relatively inexpensive. And I do agree anybody that purchases the book can contact me via the website or email, and I will put a certain message in there for them specifically for them, whether it be at a book signing or I do some book signings and events not at Barnes & Noble as well, and you're always welcome to come, and I would be glad to sign it for you. All right, we've come to the end of our broadcast. I look forward to seeing some of you maybe on Saturday at the Barnes & Noble in Menlo Park Mall. Thank you for tuning into our program as you have for the past 6 years. We'll see you. Have a great day. I think it's going to be a pretty good weekend, guys, weather-wise. So get out there. I know Saturday is going to be a beautiful day. Thank you, and have a wonderful, wonderful day.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, is blasting a key Democrat, House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler, who is promising further congressional action following a statement from Special Counsel Robert Mueller on Wednesday.
Jerry Nadler just proved that he shouldn't be the chairman of that committee by saying Jerry Nadler has figured out already, without an investigation, that he's going to respond to the crimes of the president.
Giuliani was speaking there on Fox News. Now, Congressman Nadler did hold a press conference just after 2 o'clock Eastern when he said,
with respect to impeachment question, at this point, all options are on the table and nothing should be ruled out.
Acting Defense Secretary Patrick Shanahan says the U.S. is not trying to start a conflict with Iran. He spoke to reporters on a plane while flying to Jakarta.
I don't think anyone wants a war with Iran. I don't think you'll find people in the national security apparatus that wants a war with Iran.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical saving, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
After increasing for the last 20 years, the Centers for Disease Control reports a decline in new cases of diabetes. More from USA Radio Network's John Clemens.
Researchers at the CDC report new cases of diagnosed diabetes in the U.S. decreased by 35% since a peak in 2009. The report is being described as the first sign that efforts to stop the nation's epidemic of diabetes have been working. New cases have declined from 1.7 million per year in 2008 to 1.3 million new cases in 2017. The number of people living with diagnosed diabetes in the U.S. has remained stable during the past 8 years. I'm John Clemens.
Millions of Americans from Texas to New York could be in store for some wicked weather today. The National Weather Service says this includes tornadoes, damaging wind, and large hail. The warning comes after 19 tornadoes were reported across five states on Tuesday. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now, that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere at retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV.